All right, I trust that, again, everybody has an outline of what we're going to be looking at today as we talk about 2019 and the vision that I think the Lord has laid on my heart. And there's a couple of things that we really need to do. First and foremost, I want you to actually turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, because verses 3 and 4, as you see in your outline sheet, is our introductory verses to this message, but also the vision verse for 2019 coming up. And I want to be able to explain and really kind of deal with this verse first, and then we'll go into really the text for today in Luke chapter 4 and talking about being anointed to preach. And really, I think this is a good follow-up from the vision that we've had this year, talking about sound doctrine and sound speech. I mean, understanding the truth of the Word of God has been laid out to us in our dispensation, and being able to obviously apply it to our lives and to be able to be ready to speak it to others. And really, this year's vision comes to dealing with, how do we counsel people? How do we deal with people using the Word of God with the various different struggles or conflicts or things that go on in their life? And really, the Lord has laid this vision on my heart really early in this year. And I'll explain as far as what we're going to be preaching through in this next year. And it really is a monumental task as I look at it. But I think it's one that will be really good for us, and really looking at trying to reach people, build bridges with people, to be able to share the truth of the Word of God, and really meet people where they are at. Not a matter of just, you know, how much we know and understand about the Word of God, but how can we actually take the truth of the Word of God and minister to people where they're at, with the struggles and the problems they go through. And obviously, dealing with us, we will go through some things in this year. I mean, this is unavoidable as far as living on this planet and standing on truth. We're going to go through some things just being human. We're going to go through some things, but being able to take what God is able to give us, the comfort from His Word, to deal with those conflicts, and not only to, again, have comfort for our own hearts and lives, but be able to share that with other people. So let's actually look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we'll read verse 3 and 4, and then we'll get going from there. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3, it says this: "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort." And just before we even get into verse 4, I mean, verse 3 is something that always stands out to me. I know I probably mentioned this before as we've looked at this verse and whatever it's been as far as a cross-reference or question-answer Bible study and that sort of thing, but He's the Father of mercies, plural. It's not singular, it's plural. And we understand that mercy is something like not getting really the judgment or maybe the punishment that we actually deserve, but God gives us His mercies, plural. And I know me. I need God's mercies, not just a one-time thing, but multiple times. And that's something I think is important to understand from the get-go with this verse. And not only that, He's a God of all comfort. I mean, He's able to comfort us, as we see. No matter the circumstance, no matter the situation, He has every available tool, in a sense, that God has, which is everything, to be able to give us comfort. He can give us comfort through various different means, through people, obviously through His Word, and we'll deal with that even starting next week, but through people, through circumstances, situations, He's able to give us comfort. He's the God of all comfort. And in verse 4, it goes on, it says, "Who comforted us in all our tribulation." Again, not just some of it, even the majority of it, but all our tribulation, "that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." So you see, by the very nature of God giving us comfort, it's not just for our own purpose or for our own easement and whatever conflict that we're going through, but for the purpose of being able to take that same comfort that God gives us and to be able to help somebody else out who's in any tribulation or trouble. It doesn't mean that we have to exactly go through what they go through or have been through. But we can take God's comfort of His Word and everything that He's able to provide for us and be able to share it with others. And really, this is something that God has kind of laid on my heart for this year, but really has been dealing with me all this past. It's hard to talk about this and we're still in 2018, going into 2019. But this past year, the Lord's really dealt with me about that, and just people that I've met, whether on the job or circumstances, it's like the things that we go through, there's some tough things that we as human beings go through. And there's reasons for that. Again, we'll start talking about that next week. But it's like, I think that's what our job is as believers in Christ, is to be able to take our relationship with God and take the truth of the Word of God and meet people where they're at in those conflicts, in those struggles, and to be able to give them the truth of God's comfort through His Word to be able to help them. I think that's something that God is really urging us to do this year. And being able to not just get knowledge, not just understand doctrine, but be able to take the truth of the Word of God and practically apply it to people's lives and what they are going through. So to help facilitate this vision and understand kind of where I think the Lord is leading us, we're going to look at Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19 today. But I want to have a word of prayer, and then we'll get started in what we need to see from Luke 4, 18 and 19. Father in heaven, again, I thank you and praise you for the day. I thank you for all that you are doing. Lord, I thank you for this year. Just like Kurt has prayed, you've given us so much, including, and not to take for granted, the very building that we're in. Something that was, again, not even on our radar at the beginning of last year. And it'll be, in February, we've been here for a whole year, by the end of February. And it's just amazing that you've provided this place for us. And we thank you for it. And Lord, I pray that with this vision that you've laid on our heart in this coming year, now we're going to really start seeing you use us to reach people, that is just more than just us here, again, but to be able to make a difference in the lives of people and the things they go through by your word. Lord, trusting you for us to build relationships, to build bridges, to be able to have conversations with people, to be able to have them open up to us, and us to be able to open the scriptures to them. And again, that they would want to be a part of what's going on here at Faith Bible Church. Again, to live by faith according to the Word of God. And that the Word of God has the answers in every aspect of our lives. Lord, give us those opportunities, but help us to be prepared for those opportunities. Help us to look beyond our own maybe conflicts or things that are going on in our life. Utilize the comfort you give us. Utilize your Word, but be able to turn around and show that comfort to others. Lord, help us to understand that. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, if you're in Luke chapter 4, we're going to be looking at verses 18 and 19. And on the outline sheet, we've got seven different points that we're going to be looking at here and try to get through this in a timely manner. But again, they moved the Chiefs game until, 3 o'clock, whatever. So I got plenty of time, right? That sort of thing. But in all seriousness, when you look at this, I want you to understand the context of Luke chapter 4. If you're to go back to the beginning of this chapter, you see that this is an account just like you have in Matthew chapter 4, where Jesus is in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights and being tempted of the devil. And it goes through those three different temptations, as far as what would be the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. And obviously the Lord Jesus Christ passed that temptation with the Word of God. And so that is the circumstance that you have. And when that takes place, I mean, the angels minister to him, and then he's coming in and he goes into the synagogue and he finds a place in the scripture in Isaiah, actually, Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 and 2. And he quotes that and he says, today this is fulfilled. And what he's talking about is, as we'll see here in Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, again, this is something that is laid out in Isaiah chapter 61. I'm not going to take the time to go back there, but I want you to be familiar with where he is quoting this from in the book of Isaiah. And this is important, I think, right after he has come through this temptation. He's been in the wilderness for 40 days, 40 nights, hadn't eaten anything. Satan comes and he tempts him, and of course, how does it respond? It responds by the truth of the Word of God. Now, what's important is to understand that Jesus Christ, put it this way, we have not gone through something that the Lord does not understand, or that he hasn't been through. All right? And again, I understand, Jesus Christ never was in a car accident, or something like that. I mean, yeah, I understand that. But Jesus Christ has went through everything that as human beings on this planet that we face, whether it's, again, temptation as far as the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, or the pride of life. He understands what it is to suffer. He understands to have to be rejected. I mean, he's gone through those things, and he's been successful in those things, because remember, he's not only God, he was also man. And he did it through the Word of God. And that's what we're talking about in this coming year, and dealing with people, that we go through struggles. We go through hard times. We go through things that are not fair. We go through things that maybe we put ourselves in those situations, whatever the case is. But the answer to that is going to be the truth of the Word of God, because it's the Word of God that has the answers. It's the Word of God that provides the comfort. It's even the Spirit of God that's called the Comforter in the Gospel of John, that He takes the truth of the Word of God and ministers to our heart. And so what we're talking about is having the opportunity and trusting God for bringing people in our lives that, yeah, they are going through tough times. as this verse lays out. They're brokenhearted. They're poor. And you talk about financially, talk about spiritually. They're bruised. They've gone through some things. They're held captive by some things. That is why Jesus Christ came, is to be able to free them up and give them comfort. And that's why God has left us here as believers in Christ to be able to be a conduit, a vessel, to be able to have God use His Word to be able to comfort the lives of others that are around us. And what we got to do is understand that it's not just about us. It's not about focus on what needs to happen in our lives, but how we can be used of God to work the truth of the Word of God in the lives of others. Now let's actually look at this, and let's take this and break it down. Verse 18 again, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." And as it goes on, it says, and I actually want to read this as well, it says, "Because He hath anointed me." All right, that word anointed, I mean, it really, you can look at and go back to the Old Testament. I mean, this word appears a number of times through Scriptures. I'm reading through the Word of God again, so I've been through the book of Leviticus, now I'm in the book of Numbers, and we see it where, again, whether it's a priesthood or people being anointed. The idea of the word of anointed is not just how the charismatic has hijacked of that word, in a sense, and thinking that you got some special spiritual power or something like that. It's a matter of the word anointed comes from the idea of like rubbing oil on somebody, but really it was used to set aside, like I said, the priesthood or the tribe of Levi for service for God. That's what it means to be anointed, that you're really set aside for service. And oil in the Bible is a picture of the Spirit of God. And so it's not of any accident how Jesus Christ uses this and how we see it in the Word of God, how the Spirit of God anointed Him. And this is not something that is just relegated to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is something, as believers in Christ, that we too, in a sense, are anointed with the Spirit of God. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. We know that from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, Ephesians chapter 4, down in verse 30, and 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 22, I do believe, that we have been sealed with the Spirit of God. So in a sense, we are anointed. We have the Spirit of God to be able to accomplish the task that God has given us. And as we see here, as we see actually three times in two verses from Luke 4, 18 and 19, to preach. To preach. Remember, this ties right into what we've already seen ending our vision this year in 2 Timothy. Preach the Word, be instant in season and out of season. But notice the first thing, again, it talks about being preached. In other words, what's interesting about this is Jesus Christ speaking and He is God. But it talks about being anointed by the Spirit of God to preach. And that's the same thing in dealing with us. It can't be something that we rely upon our own strength, our own power, to be able to minister to people's lives, especially going through tough times. We need to rely on the Spirit of God, the power of God. I want you to put a finger there or whatever, because obviously we're not done with Luke 4, but I want you to turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm going to look at the first five verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The context, I mean, Paul is obviously writing to the Corinthians and he's relating back to them the time that he came to minister to the Corinthians and how he did that. And not that he was focused on dealing with his flesh and being able to minister to them, but again, dealing with the power of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1, it says this, "And I, brethren, when I came unto you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." In other words, not like I'm some great orator, some great speaker, and I think all of us can identify with that. We don't probably think that we're the greatest thing since sliced bread as far as being able to speak, and especially in a public situation. Some of you may be scared to death of doing something like that, but that's not what it's all about. And Paul says, it's like, I didn't come with all that. Verse 2, it says, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." That's another thing that we may think about. Well, I don't know enough. I don't have enough understanding of the Word of God to be able to minister the truth of the Word of God to somebody. I haven't been to Bible college. I haven't been to seminary. I haven't been saved long enough or anything like that. Guess what? Paul's not depending on that either. So that's not an excuse that we're going to have at all. He says, "The only thing I know is Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Well, that's the base bottom knowledge that any believer in Christ need to have, right? You can't be saved without understanding that, all right? That Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. That He was buried and rose again the third day, all right? That's what Paul says. This is what I know, all right? It's Jesus Christ and Him crucified, all right? So that's the bare knowledge of us getting saved. So this is something that we need to understand that we know. He goes on and it says this in verse 3. It says, "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." I think that's something that we can all identify with. Especially if, I remember, since this is post-Christmas, I remember when I was in grade school. I started playing drums when I was in fifth grade. And God gave me a talent for it even before I knew it. I wasn't saved or anything like that. But of course, Christmas time, and it's a school event, so what song's going to be sung? You know, and all that, the little drummer boy. So they had me playing the drums. I was going to play my little snare drum. I remember it was like my first, I think, performance that I remember. And so the curtains were drawn, so, and all of a sudden the curtains opened. I'm in the front, choir's behind me, and I'm going to play the snare drum as they sing the song Little Drummer Boy. I look out and I see the crowd. I froze. I had no idea what I was doing. I was just doing something. I don't know what I was doing. It was the first time, and I think the only time I've ever had stage fright in performing, and all the performances, and it was, I remember how scary that was, you know, and it was just, it was terrifying. I mean, some of you may like, yeah, get me to have to speak in front of somebody or speak to anybody, and it's like, yeah, that's stage fright. I understand that. I understand that. And Paul talked about in dealing with this that he was with them in much trembling and fear. But continue on, it says this in verse 4. It says, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Why? That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Alright? That's the key. It's like not trusting in your ability or your lack of ability. It's about trusting in the Spirit of God to work in your life, to work in somebody else's. That's what we're talking about. And if you've never stepped out on faith to do that, I'm telling you, you are missing out. Some of the greatest highs of my life is being able to see God work through me to teach the Word of God to somebody to make a difference in their life. And to have things come to mind that I didn't even begin to think about. Or, you know, to be able to say that right thing that that person needed to hear. It's the ultimate, for me, the ultimate high. Alright? And because it has nothing to do with me besides willing to open my mouth and trust God that God is going to work through me with His Word to affect a difference in somebody else's life. Let's go back to Luke chapter 4. Again, in verse 18, it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. The first thing that's mentioned there is to the poor. Alright? And again, this world has always been and always will be, in a sense, until there's a millennium, you know, eternity in the future, there are going to be poor people. And the idea of this is like, again, there's the spiritual aspect of people being poor in spirit, but obviously there is a very physical aspect of people being poor. They don't have a lot of money. Alright? Don't have two nickels to rub together. It's funny. One of my friends that I used to work together, he accepted Christ a number of years ago, and his name is George. And George, if you're listening to this, hi, by the way. But anyhow, he sent this, or maybe I sent it to him, that's what I did. I sent this post to him, but it's like, you know, New Year's coming up, and it was this meme on Facebook that says, I'm going to party like it's 1999, and it was a dollar sign, $19.99. Like, I don't have a lot of money to do anything, so I'm going to party like 19. I thought it was funny. You guys are just staring at me. It's like, oh my gosh. It's better than Pam's jokes. Come on, all right? Anyhow, there are people that don't have a lot of money. They don't have a lot of money, all right? And generally, seems like, the tendency that we have in the Christian world of things is that we deal with the poor by just, you know, let's give them their physical needs. Let's get some food for them, clothing, whatever the case is. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Matter of fact, turn over to Romans 15 real quick. Romans chapter 15, down in verse 26. I mean, Paul makes reference to this as far as giving aid to those who were poor. Again, physically dealing with their needs. There's, again, nothing wrong with that. And in Romans chapter 15, down in verse 26, Romans 15, 26, it says this, for it hath pleased them of Macedonia and the Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. Alright? And so, again, something that they was on their heart to do, and there's not a problem with that, obviously, taking care of those who are less fortunate or going through some struggles. There's nothing wrong with that. The problem becomes, in the Christian world of things, if all we ever deal with is a physical need and not deal with the spiritual need, that is a problem. And there's people, yes, and especially in our neck of the woods and where we live in southeast Kansas and so forth, is that, yeah, this is it's one of the poorest counties in all of the state of Kansas. There could be that mindset of just, you know, hey, what can you get for me? That welfare mentality. I understand that a little bit more after living here for a couple of years. And the tendency is, let's just have a soup kitchen. Let's do something. Let's feed the poor. And again, there's nothing in and of itself wrong with that. But if our focus is just the physical and not the spiritual, then that's where the problem comes in. Now, I want you to notice when the Lord's talking about the Spirit of God anointed me, and the first thing He says is to preach the gospel to the poor. You see that same thing later in Luke. Go to Luke chapter 7, and we're going to look down in verse 22. And as you make your way there, I'll give you a little bit of the background. What happened is that John the Baptist, he's in prison at this point, and he's having a little bit of kind of some doubts. And he sends some of his disciples to Jesus, basically to ask, it's like, are you really the Messiah, or should we look for somebody else? And then Jesus gives this response to them, and it says this down in Luke 7 and verse 22. Then Jesus answering said unto them, go your way and tell John what things you have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor we fed them a whole bunch of food. No, he doesn't say that. To the poor the gospel is preached. The emphasis and a focus is not the physical, but the spiritual. I mean, there's always going to be people, I mean, they're going to be looking for a handout. They're going to be looking for something. And again, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying I'm just going to take care of your spiritual needs and we're not going to be a church to help you with your, you know, kind of physical needs. That's not what I'm saying here. But the emphasis always needs to be on a relationship with the Lord through the Word of God. Jesus Christ is appropriate. This is God. He can literally make food out of nothing. He doesn't say to the poor, I have made a whole bunch of food for them. Took care of them. They won the Jesus Christ lottery. They have food for a year. It does not say that. I preach the gospel to the poor. Now that really should give us some instruction. And that we, again, that is the emphasis. Remember the first Sunday that we had a service in this building? Lady walks in off the street in the middle of my preaching. What was she looking for? Money. And again, I'm not opposed to being able to help somebody out, but the Word of God is very clear about who we're supposed to help. And I try to tell her and talk to her about, hey, why don't you come to church for a while and let's be able to minister to you and be able to get to know you, and then we can see what happens down the road and being able to help you with some of your problems. But then all of a sudden she had all kinds of, well, I don't have a reliable car, and just that, come up with every other excuse of why she couldn't be here. And that's on her. Alright? Give the opportunity of what's important. Truth of the Word of God first. And this is important to understand in all this. Let's go back to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Alright? Now obviously we're talking about something that is obviously spiritual in nature. To heal the brokenhearted. There are undoubtedly scores of people, and you know them, and you work with them, and there's family members, that their heart is broken. Something has broken their heart. When you talk about heart, you're talking about their soul, their emotions. They're broken. And I tell you, when people are brokenhearted, it really is an opportunity for them to look to God, and hopefully they will. But obviously we know that there's people, instead of doing that, they're bitter, and they get bitter against God. But when we have the opportunity to deal with somebody's brokenhearted, what's our goal? What's our job? To be able to try to take, again, the truth of the Word of God, to be able to heal their brokenhearted. To see that the Word of God and relationship with the Lord has an answer for your broken heart. You look over in Colossians chapter 2 real quick. And as you make your way there, again, give you a little bit of understanding in dealing with Colossians. I mean, the background of that is that Paul is concerned about this church, and because there's many false teachers and philosophies and things that are happening in their area and in their city, and he's concerned about them falling away from the truth of the Word of God. In Colossians chapter 2, notice what he says, verse 1 and verse 2. It says this, for I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. Interesting that he says, I have a great conflict. I mean, that's where our vision theme, comfort in a conflict. And he goes on in verse 2 and it says, that their hearts might be comforted. How? Being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ. Now, this would be a message in itself to really break this down, so I'm going to say it simply as this. How is their heart going to be comforted? By the truth of the Word of God. Not an accident, it talks about the mystery of God. Remember, that's one of the things that we're going to be held accountable for. We just studied this past year as far as understanding the doctrine, as far as the seven mysteries and how we're going to be held accountable to that. The heart being knit together, talking about understanding. Where does understanding come from? In love. What's really love? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. Talking about speaking the truth to them in love. So we're going to talk about love being connected back to the Word of God. Understanding, connected back to the Word of God. The mystery of God, being connected back to the Word of God. Get the point? So somebody who is brokenhearted, how are we going to comfort their heart? By showing them what it is to have a relationship with God through His Word. Right? That's what we're talking about this coming year. Not a, as I've said so many times, and you know, when somebody's going through a problem, and I'm talking in the Christian world of things, what is the answer that's always said? What do we need to do? We need to what? Now again, I'm not coming against this because I'm a strong believer in prayer, but that's all sort of the answer. I'll pray for you. I'll be in prayer for you. Have you been praying? Pray, pray, pray. And prayer is important. But it goes hand in hand with the Word of God. If somebody's heart that is broken is going to be healed, they're going to be comforted, you can't escape without that having been the Word of God. Yes, you need to pray, but that's you talking to God. We understand that. But you need to allow God to speak back to your broken heart. And that happens through the Word. So I always ask people, going through something, what are you reading? Are you reading? No. That's usually the answer I get. No, I haven't been reading. Well, how can you allow God to heal your broken heart if you're not listening to Him through the written Word of God? Let's go back, because, again, I could take, obviously, all day. It might end up being 3 o'clock. No, I'm just kidding. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Let's move on. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives. There's a lot of people that are held captive by a lot of things. I think that's one thing, and I'm getting more comfortable with letting people know I work at a casino. It's like, well, you know, how does that work? You're a pastor and you're at a casino. I understand that. Hasn't been the first time somebody's asking that question. I'm a pastor that you teach karate? Well, how does that work? Easy. I pray to God before I hit him. No, I'm just kidding. It just seems like it's a contrary thing. A police officer. How can you be a pastor or a police officer? Aren't you concerned? What if you have to shoot somebody? I pray over that bullet and hope I hit him. I mean, this seems like a contradiction, but there's not in any of those things, again, according to the Word of God. And the thing that is done as far as working at the casino for these last 6 months or so now is get me in contact with people going through real problems. People that are poor. People that are brokenhearted. People that are captive by whatever addiction or whatever is going on. And it's like, why Christian? Why would you be something like that? Literally, we're looking at what Jesus is coming to do and is anointed to do. To reach these very people. How can I have the opportunity to share the truth with people that are in a situation if I'm not availing myself to be where they're at? And it doesn't mean that you go overboard and it's like, you know, they're, you know, get involved in obviously in sin or anything like that. It has nothing to do with that. It's a matter of reaching people where they're at and sharing truth with them. It says, again, deliverance to those who are captive. I want you to turn your Bible real quick just back to 2 Timothy. I should say 4 to 2 Timothy. Obviously, this is review because we just preached this not too terribly long ago. 2 Timothy chapter 2, down in verse 24. There are people that are captive by various different things. It can be, like I said, physical addiction or something like that that's going on, but it can also be mental, spiritual, in a sense of bad doctrine. And that's what we looked at in 2 Timothy chapter 2. But here's my point in looking at this verse again, is understanding that God is the one that is going to have to get them out of their captivity. It's not us, it's God. But God wants to use us to be able to share the truth of the Word of God so that can take place. 2 Timothy chapter 2, down in verse 24, it says this: "The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." All right? That is the circumstances of people, that they are in a snare. They're held captive by Satan. But what's our job? In meekness, all right, not beating them over the head with the Bible, but there's open doors and opportunities. Ask us questions. What do you think? I got this going on in my life. Here, let me show you the truth of the Word of God. And trusting that God is going to be the one that's going to get them out of that trap, that captivity. But if we never build relationships with people, never gain their trust so they will speak to us about things that are going on in our life, how in the world can we ever, in a sense, give God the opportunity to comfort their hearts through His Word? And especially if we have that open door and we decide to not go through it. Because we think, well, I don't know enough. Or I'm not a good speaker. Or all these other excuses that we love to come up with, and missing out on the opportunity for God to use us to minister to somebody's life. We live in a day and age, let's just face it, millennial age, I mean, there's not an uptick in people coming to church. Not at all. Going the opposite direction. Most people think church or religion, and we understand the difference of that, but just in a general sense, that it has no purpose, no function in people's lives today. Doesn't do anybody any good. Part of that reason is because you have churches that don't study to show themselves approved unto God and work from that needs not to be shamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. Part of it is because churches don't really learn and grow in the Word of God to be able to minister the Word of God. Their messages are just about, you know, trying to get people to come in. Honestly, please give. And that's how people view the church. And it's all kind of get lumped in together. Especially when you have certain religions that are having problems with, you know, I hate to say it almost, but look at organized religion as a total, as a whole, and as you got a church protecting criminals, in a sense, as far as child molestation and things like that. These are the things that are out there and what people come to mind when talking about Christianity and why I'm not going to church. What's it ever going to do for me? What has it ever done for me? That's the context, that's the situation that we're dealing with. But it doesn't mean that we just give up. No. To the contrary. Working in people's lives, developing them, giving 2 cents about where they're at, asking about how they're doing. The next time you talk to them, remember, hey, how's this situation? Here, let me, you know, I mean, that sort of thing. I try to do, especially like when I'm doing the chaplain thing with police, sometimes there's some officers I don't ride with again for a year later. Or whatever the circumstances, and I try to remember, what was the last thing we talked about? Hey, let me ask you about this situation. It happened to me just recently. I don't think it was a police situation, whatever, but it's like, I remember the last thing that we talked about, and she's like, yeah, let me update you on this. Actually, it was at my eye doctor's, that's what it was. The last time I had her to work with me was, it had been years ago. And the last I talked to her, she had a boyfriend. Boyfriend had a kid. They weren't married at the time, whatever. And there were some issues with his ex-wife. That was the last conversation that we had that we talked about. So, a couple of weeks ago when I was in Kansas City at my eye appointment, I had her, and I said, "So how's that situation?" He goes, "Oh, it's been, yeah, he passed away. It's been 2 years ago, he passed away, and I'm raising the kid." You know, and it's like trying to remember, because that means something. It's like, oh, you remember what we talked about before? I mean, really caring about somebody's, what they're going through, with a hope and the opportunity, hey, let me share the word with you. Go beyond just like, well, I'll just be praying for you. I know it's a typical thing we say, and we should be praying. I say that myself. Yeah, I'm praying. I usually stop and pray for that person so I don't forget. But it's also like, hey, where are you at in the word? Can I share something with you? Hey, it kind of reminds me of, you know, I had kind of this situation before, maybe not just like it. I'm not trying to downplay your circumstance, but here's how the Lord helped me get through that. This is how the Lord comforted me with that. Deliverance to the captives. Let's go back to Luke chapter 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind. Again, we're easily looking at this in a spiritual context. I mean, I'm not saying that God can't use you to heal somebody physically blind. I'm not saying that. I'm not limiting God in any respect of the imagination. But practically, in reality, there's a lot of blind people out there, what? Spiritually. Because of some of the things maybe I just mentioned. The bad testimony of the church. There's some people that are blinded. And it's like our job is to try to help them to be able to see, again, according to the power of the Lord, not anything that we can do in and of ourselves. I want you to go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 real quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm going to pick it up in verse 3, read down through verse 7. And love 2 Corinthians. Incredible book. Maybe one of these years we'll go through it and preach through it, but not this year. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I want you to, again, pick it up in verse 3. It says this: "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves," because preaching ourselves is not going to do anybody any good, "but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine in darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." You see, what that is saying is that there's no way anything that we have to offer in and of ourselves is going to open the blind spiritual eyes of anybody. It's the light and the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It's His Word. That is what's going to allow people that are blind to be able to see. But that's not going to automatically happen. How many lost people do you know that's just going to open up the Word of God and start reading it and get saved? Not saying it doesn't happen, because it does happen. But how many people actually do something like that? How many people at your workplace, when's the last time at your workplace that somebody is like, "You know what? I know I'm lost. I know I'm a sinner. Let me head to church this week. I need to get saved." When does that happen? Well, not too often. You see, until they ever, I mean, they're not going to just automatically come to church. That's why we are to go out into the world. In our different ideas of life, whether it's our job, school, neighborhood, family, whatever the circumstance is, whatever community activity you get involved in, whatever it is, that you use that opportunity to be able to get the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God, to them. Because it's that power, is that truth that's going to allow them to be able to open their eyes and to be able to see. All the blind people that you see Jesus Christ healing in the Gospels is just a physical representation of the spiritually what was going on in the nation of Israel and those around. They were spiritually blind. And it's only the truth of the Word of God that even has a hope of them to be able to recover the sight of the blind. Some people are just blinded by their circumstances. All they see, in a sense, is their circumstances, which is blinding them. And they need somebody like you, a relationship with the Lord. Understand how God has given you mercy, giving you comfort in your conflict, and to be able to take that same comfort and show them, hey, let me show you the Word of God and help you to see clearly what's going on, what the Lord would like to do in your life. Let's go back to Luke chapter 4. In verse 18 it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." Kind of, in a sense, mentioned this a little bit previous here. There's a lot of people that are, unfortunately, get bruised by the church. Not just the Roman Catholic Church, Baptist churches, you name it. If I was to succumb to all the times I was bruised by my brothers in Christ in different churches, then I most definitely wouldn't be standing here right now. People get bruised. Alright? Ever been kicked out of a church? Yeah, you guys know. I've been kicked out of a church, my family and I. Because of doctrine, because of truth. Not fun. Not fun at all. In fact, one of the worst times of my life in ministry. Having somebody that I consider a father in faith stand up and preach lies about me to keep other people away from me. Tough. Bruised. Hurt. You know, think about it, still can hurt. Still a little scar tissue left over. But am I going to let that stop what God wants to do in my life and in the life of others? But there's a lot of people that are out there that have stopped even considering to go to church or have anything to do with Christianity because they've been bruised. They don't trust the church, and probably for good reason. But we got to be different. I mean, you know, there's liberty from being bruised. Jesus Christ, matter of fact, I mean, one of the things on a cross, matter of fact, I will have you turn there. I have it on your outline sheet. But go back to Isaiah chapter 53. It's a great chapter that prophetically deals with the Lord Jesus Christ and His suffering on the cross for us. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 5. Isaiah 53 and verse 5 says this: "But He was wounded for our transgressions, He was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed." Now, Jesus Christ can heal anybody that's gone through whatever hurt or bruises that they, because He's been through that. He's gone through that. And that's what we need to be able to show people through His Word, that, you know what, the Lord can take care of the circumstances, the situation for you. And you look over back to 2 Corinthians, I have you there earlier, this time 2 Corinthians chapter 3, down in verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, down in verse 17. Chapter really kind of talks about the difference between the law and grace and how there's liberty, and this is exactly what it says here down in verse 17. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 17 says, "Now the Lord is that Spirit," capital S, "and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty." We have the answers to whatever circumstance and problem that people go through. Now, I grant it, there are some people that get themselves in some circumstances by their choice that is unbelievable. In times where I think that I have heard it all, I hear something else. It's like, oh my gosh. Like, how in the world did you get your life in this kind of mess? But you know what? We're absolutely no different than them. We are one bad decision from being in the same place that they are. And God understands that. All right. Again, next week we'll talk about some of the reasons why people go through what they go through and why they go through it. But one of those reasons is because they make bad decisions. Somebody makes a bad decision. What do we do with them? Just give up. You're done. Enjoy the rest of your life being in the mess that you are. Or, you know what? God can set you at liberty. If you want to be, submit yourselves and apply the Word of God, you can get out of the problems that you have step by step by step by step. The problem is most people don't want to. But that shouldn't limit us in giving people the opportunity to have liberty. You look at Galatians, since we're in 2 Corinthians, just flip over a few more pages to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. It says this, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." I mean, this is something that's a continual process, because any one of us can easily be entangled again. And understanding that, we need to stand fast in the liberty that God has given us. For those who are bruised, they can have liberty. And it's going to come by the application of the Word of God. All right? And again, this is one of those things this year. It's like, yeah, we're talking about, I really want us and trust God to get to the most brokenhearted, those who are captive, those who are down and out, those who are because, I mean, those are the kind of people that we know that we either work with or live around or whatever the case is, to give them the opportunity that, you know what, God can make a difference. The Word of God can make a difference in your life. We can't make them do the right thing, but it's certainly our responsibility to give them the opportunity whether to choose to or not. The problem and the sin comes on us to where we don't say or do anything to try to help them out. Now that leads us to the last point I need to finish up, because I know this has been longer than usual. But in Luke chapter 4, again, this time verse 19, the last thing that the Lord says is to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Acceptable. The time is now. We've had, that's one of our memory verses. You know, again, 2 Timothy 4:2. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. We need to preach the word. We've come through this last year of, again, understanding the doctrine, understanding that we need to have sound doctrine, sound speech. It's time to preach. Now is the time. The acceptable year of the Lord. Now. You know, it's one of those things I've heard before, and I know I've said it before. If now's not the time, then when is the time? When's it going to be the time to do this? And if it's not you, then who? Who's going to do it? I mean, God wants all of us to be involved in sharing the truth of the Word of God now. Not, well, I feel like I need to get a little bit more Scripture under my belt. Now. We all are in that same boat. I don't know everything there is to know about the Word of God. I'm close. We're all going to need to be learning. But I don't know. I don't have enough experience. I'm not going to get it without doing it. It's always the same conundrum that I always... Hey, especially, you know, you get out of college and you want to get a job, or let's say that you've been in college, maybe the trade school, whatever the case is, and you go for that job interview and they reject you because you don't have enough experience. Well, how in the heck am I ever going to get any experience if you don't hire me? Take a chance. All right? Well, it's like, same thing. God's not saying, well, I'm sorry, but you've only witnessed to two people, and one was kind of by accident because you had your Bible kind of left open and they looked at it. So, sorry. Not enough experience, I can't use you to witness to somebody. That's not CEO God. God's like, you have no experience, you don't know anything, you're my person that I want. Because I can show you and teach you correctly through the Word of God and give you the experience as you trust me. That's how God operates. You don't have a Bible degree? Beautiful. I'll be to your benefit for some of those Bible colleges. My point is, the only thing that really hinders and stops us is us. It's not because God doesn't want to use us. Not that at all. It's us. We have an excuse. We have a reason. Well, now's not the time. Now is the time. It's the accepted time. All right, I want you to look at, real quickly, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 this time, verses 1 and 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I used this reference before in different things that we talked about. But notice what it says here. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1 and 2. It says this, "We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain." Awesome privilege to be able to work with God. And so not to receive the grace of God in vain. God saved you for a reason. God's given you grace for a reason. Verse 2. "For he saith, I have heard thee in the time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee," or relieved or helped thee. "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Somebody, I mean, God gives you an open door in somebody's life, and they're going through some struggles. Today is the day. That time is the time. teach them the truth of the Word of God. Show them what it is to have a relationship with the Lord. Show how the testimony that you have that God has brought you through the things, and that you know, take that same comfort to give to others. Right? Don't say, I'll get to it tomorrow. I'll talk to them next week. And as much as you take that open door, encouraging that person, you know what? Now's the time to do something. Now. Not waiting. Kurt and I went out to lunch because that's what husbands do when their wife is not around to cook them food. And so that's what it is. I'm just telling you. I'm just being honest. I'm just going to lay it out. My Thursday was awesome. You know, I had a phone call from Dave. We had a good time catching up. And then once that was done, it was Kurt picked me up and went to Smoky Racks at that Spud with the pulled pork barbecue sauce on it. And I make the same mistake every time. I should stop halfway through that thing. But no, ate the whole thing. And then by the time we're done with lunch and everything like that, it's time Arnold picked me up and went to the movies. I had my popcorn, you know, and then we had a good time. That's what guys do when the wife is... But Kurt was telling me about a guy that he was able to witness to. Again, and it's like the third time or something like that, whatever opportunity he's had. I'm trying to encourage him, like, now it's time to do something about this. You got yourself situation, okay? It's like, you know, God can handle that. The Word of God can say, what are you going to do about it? You got to make that decision. And I understand that there's going to be people in your job, I'm sure you've already experienced it, some of you. They got all kinds of problems. They go to you because they know that you're the Christian, ask your advice, and then they proceed not to take it. And then they'll come later, problems worse, whatever the case is. I understand that. And what should we do? Love them, continue to give them the truth, and hopefully one day, peradventure, God will give them repentance through acknowledging the truth, recovering themselves of the snare of the devil. When it becomes wrong for us, and God is going to require of us, is when they come to us, have an open door, and we say nothing. Or it's like, why is this time going to be any different than the other five times I talked to you? You don't know. How many of you got saved the first time you heard the gospel? Any of you? Very first time you heard it? Yep, I need Jesus. How many times did it take? What if God said, oh, I gave it to you once, you didn't accept it, tough cookies. Where would you be today? It's practical. And that's the thing that I see with this vision this year. Just practical things of taking the truth of the Word of God and showing people how it is relevant to their life and to their problems now. And they can have relief and they can have comfort from it. So how are we going to fulfill this vision? On Sundays, one of the things I'm going to do, the first Sunday of our question and answer Bible study, is start going through counseling principles. We'll start next week and just talking about, again, why do people go through the problems that they go through. All right. And next week's bulletin, I'll lay this all out for you so you have it written down and nice and neat and so forth. And plus, I'll have it on our website. But that's what we're going to do. And we'll review as we go through, but we'll still have question and answer. But the first Sunday will be me laying out some things about that. And obviously, you can ask questions about that. And then through the course of the month, we'll review those things that we cover. But the first thing we're going to do next Sunday, Lord willing, is that we'll talk about why people go through the problems that they go through. All right. On the fifth Sundays, what I'll do is do something about teaching from God's creation, like I kind of alluded to in our question and answer Bible study. You know, I've been talking before about like the gospel of the stars and things like that, so we'll take some opportunity to talk about that and talk about how God uses animals and His creation to teach us truth and that sort of thing. So we'll do that on the fifth Sundays of the month. What I'm going to be preaching through is going to be quite the task. The book of Job. If there's any book that lays out some things about why people go through what they go through, spiritual warfare, how to counsel, how not to counsel people. The book of Job is a good book for that. And there's a lot that we will cover in dealing with that. When the Lord laid this on my heart, it's kind of like, well, Lord, what do you have in store for us this year? Because going through the book of Job, I mean, might as well just go through the book of Judges. I mean, that's not a cheery book at all. But God is all-knowing. And whatever circumstances, whatever situations, whatever opportunities you have in people's lives is not going to be by happenstance. And I think the book of Job is going to be a great book to be able to lay some things out. Now, understand from the get-go, we're talking about a chapter a week. There's 42 chapters in the book of Job, all right? Several chapters, we'll break it down into 2 weeks because of the length of them. So there's no way, obviously, that I'm going to deal with every aspect of the book of Job as we go through. All right? Our focus and our intent is going to be with our theme. Comfort in a conflict, you know, how to deal with people, how not to deal with people, so forth and so on. In that, yeah, we'll deal with some different doctrinal things that are going on And again, I'm going to lay some of the things that you see in the book of Job out in our bulletin for next week and go from there. But that's what we're going to be doing, going through the book of Job, and something I've never done before, and it's one of my favorite books in the Bible. It's kind of neat that I end this year preaching through one of my favorite books, 2 Timothy, and then I'm going to do next year Job, which is another one of my favorite books of the Bible. So it should be an interesting time, and but be praying about that, because again, it's like knowing exactly what the Lord would have me to cover out of each week and each chapter. So that would be what we'll cover in dealing with that. As far as Wednesdays, I'm going to put my shameless plug, as they would say on TV, about Wednesdays. I would like to see that grow, and i.e. people coming to Wednesdays. You know, and here's the thing. On Sunday mornings, I'm not requiring anything of you but to have an open heart and open mind and open word of God to learn to grow. That's my ability to have the Lord use me to be able to teach you the things that I know and understand. But Wednesdays is requiring something of you. You know, sacrifice of another week coming out, but at the same time, of doing what I think, where we're at. And I try not to ask anything that you're not capable of being able to do. And I hope you know by now that I am not going to shame you because you didn't have 3 points in a poem or anything like that. I can't shame Pam like that because she always comes up with 3 points in a poem. All right. So maybe I'll challenge her to come up with 4 points in a soliloquy or something. I don't know. I don't even know what that word means. Anyhow. But the things we're going to do, with the exception of January, because, again, we won't be having Wednesdays for the first Wednesday in January, but usually what we'll do is the first Wednesday will be on prayer, that we will get together and we will pray. Whatever things that are on your heart, things that we need to be praying for, that's what we'll be doing. The second week we'll be doing what I call memory verse devotion. The memory verses that we had this last year, same memory verses that we're going to keep because I think they're good ones. The only difference is I'm going to add in the 2 Timothy 1:8, we're going to add verse 7 as well. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. We'll add that to it. But what will happen that through the course of the year, that you will pick one of those on the second Wednesday of the month, you'll pick one of those memory verses and you will quote it before you give a devotion on it. All right, so I get you to continue to try memorizing scripture is important because you never know. You're at work and somebody, you have an open door, maybe that'd be the verse that you're able to use to be able to minister to them. You don't have time to open up a Bible or even get your phone app out. It's like, hey, let me share this word with you. All right, that sort of thing. So we're going to keep that. Third Wednesday will be me giving you some Bible challenge, whatever it may be. Something you always usually you work together as a group and have a good time in dealing with that. The next Wednesday, which will be like the fourth Wednesday of the month, will be, again, back to devotion. I mean, I really kind of heavy on being in the Word of God and sharing the Word of God with each other and giving you the opportunity to do that because the more you do it here, you know, the more that you have that experience when you have the opportunity at your job, work, family, whatever the case may be. But that'll be Bible devotion based on your own reading. Hopefully you are, and I want to encourage you to be reading something in the Word of God on your own. All right, that sort of thing. And so that'll be it. When there is a fifth Wednesday, with the exception of this month, January, coming up, will be what we call Bible Roulette. Now, that's really, as Pam has a scary look on her face, because she knows what it is. Again, getting you out of the comfort zone a little bit, you know, to where, I mean, we've done it in Kansas City to where we do a number of different things, varieties by choice that you get something. And generally speaking, when I do Bible Roulette, I do it old school. Everybody writes down a reference that they like to hear taught on. Throw it in a hat and you pick it. You can't pick your own. You got to pick something else and you get a few minutes to prepare and then you get up and teach. And it's like, look, I am not looking for some professional quality like you're on TV ready to lay out the truth of the Word of God. It really is an exercise in trusting God to give you something in that moment to share. Because that is literally the kind of times that you have and open doors when you're working with somebody, especially when it's on a job. You don't have time to prepare. They ask a question, ready to give an answer. Trusting God to give you the answer. Alright? Not you coming up with something and making something up out of the flesh. And maybe it's one of those things like, you know what, I don't know, but let me get back with you. So I can't say, but that's what that is all about. Alright? So, basically that's it. You know, there's things that we'll still have. Our spiritual boot camp, which is going to be related to what we're going to be going through. I'm going to be teaching on Sundays as far as the counseling stuff is going on. We will change it a little bit that Friday we're going to have a party at the Boyce Manor. cookout, that sort of thing. Arnold's going to be cooking. He doesn't know that yet. He knows it now. The man is an excellent cook. I'm just telling you, he's an excellent cook. All right. When my wife's out of town, he's like, go to Arnold's place. There, Arnold, you got something for me? He had some fried turkey for me. He's like, do you like fried turkey? I'm like, it's turkey. It's fried. I'm black. Of course I like it. All right? You know, anyhow. I did say that, though. I'm not ashamed of my skin color. All right, anyhow. But we'll have a cookout Friday, play some games, do whatever, have a good time. And then Saturday we'll be here, and you'll be going through as a group. And it'll be more of a group thing that we will do. In other words, I'm gonna get my acting skills back up, because by that time we're 6 months into it, and I'll be playing somebody that needs some counseling. And you guys are going to have to use your skills that you're going to be developing through the year to help counsel me in a situation. Again, practical scenarios that you would run into, you know, and how to deal with that. So that's kind of the lay of the land of what we're looking at in 2019, really. Comfort in the conflict. And again, just using our relationship with God through the Word of God, not only have comfort in our own lives, but be able to comfort others also. Well, let's pray. Father in heaven, again, I just thank you and praise you for everything you allow us to be able to see. And that's long. And there's a lot that we have dealt with, and just coming through and just looking at this vision and what you have a scope for us for 2019. Lord, I pray that all of us will have a heart to fulfill it, trusting you, your direction, each and every week, each and every day, each and every month. Lord, that whatever tribulations that we go through, there's truth to deal with it, and that we apply it to our lives. Whatever conflict, there's a comfort. Whatever suffering, there's a scripture. Lord, that your word has the answer to give us that comfort in our lives, but to be able to turn around and look, to be able to minister that same comfort of the word to others. Lord, I'm trusting you. I'm begging you for opportunities this year. And Lord, I am trusting for people that would have a heart to want to really make a difference in their lives, take the word of God and make a difference. And we're able to grow spiritually, yeah, and physically. The reach, you have us here for a reason. Lord, help us to reach the people wherever they may be in this area. Lord, to see your word, your grace, to make a difference in people's lives, in families' lives. Lord, I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.